The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
And now, a man who thought all this realignment stuff was over, Todd Lebo.
You mean last week or last year or
whenever?
12 years ago or 30 years ago or whenever? Yeah, that's right. You know, here's the deal. I said this last week. It never ends.
No.
It's never going to end. When's it going to end? It's going to end never.
Right.
That's when it's going to end.
Yeah, and until sports ends.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
The only thing that can save us from realignment is the sweet release of death.
That's about it.
About all.
That seriously is about it, because this stuff's been going on since before, before you were born, Adam. Certainly before the young intern Bobby was born. Rico, we're calling him Rico, mm-hmm. Uncle mm-hmm. Rico. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been going on forever. Right you are, Curtis. Welcome into the program. I'm Todd Lebo in here today for Seren Petro. Seren Petro, Stephen St. John, and the crew right now, I believe, are in the air. I'm not tracking the flight, but they're in the air. They're going to Lake Tahoe, the American Century Championships. So Seren will be joining us live from Lake Tahoe tomorrow. And I don't know if Stephen will be up tomorrow or not. I don't know. Very, very early in California. Mm-hmm. We'll see. We don't know what's going to happen out there. We don't know anything. They're landing. They're going to get on another plane. They're going to drive.
Like,
they're going to get there.
It's kind of like the Big 12 in realignment. We don't know what's really going to happen out west.
No, we don't. We don't have a clue of what's going to happen out west. But they're going to be out there bringing us fine content over the next few days. But today, you have this content. I don't know if this is good
or
not.
There's fine content, and then there's
fine.
No, it's fine. That's our fine.
You know what we are? We're content.
Yes, content. Fine. We're content.
That's what we are. We have a fun day today. We will talk to Alec Lewis of The Athletic, talk a little Royals. Maybe we'll talk a little conference stuff with him as well. You know, he's an Alabama boy who went to Missouri. So he's involved. He knows things going there.
Yeah.
We'll end up doing the drill today, because we didn't do the drill yesterday because nobody had to work yesterday.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed the best of all of the shows. And I'm very happy that none of our people had to come to work yesterday, and the computers ran the whole thing. And I kept tuning in, and it was on the air. So thank you, Wide
Mission
Orbit.
Mission accomplished. Yes.
We did
it. Thank you, technology.
We did it. And then
I was eating chicken yesterday.
We will talk to Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports about the National Football League. He's got an interesting column up about ranking the coaches and some quarterback things. That'll be our 5 o'clock hour as well. Tonight, we have a little bonus hour. We've got Sporting KC show. Another loss for Sporting.
Tough one. It was not fun.
No, it wasn't fun. And almost entirely sports. I just saw Josh Briscoe whisk past the window. He's in the building early to get ready for almost entirely sports today. Very good. So we'll have that all for us on this Tuesday. I'm probably going to say Monday 3 or 4 times because it feels like
just
Monday
feels
or
like
feels like Wednesday. I don't even know what it feels like.
These days, you really kind of lose track of your internal clock.
Yeah. No clue. No clue what it is. And it's hard to tell, because basically what we are in the midst of is some more news cycles of conference realignment. It was, what day was it last week when we first heard about Southern Cal?
Thursday and Friday. Where
Thursday
it was
at noon,
Big 12
and it was
and
done
SC.
By 6. That's right.
Yeah.
So last Thursday, we're less than a week ago, at 12:30, there was a rumbling of USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten. And by 6 o'clock that night, it was done.
Yeah.
Accepted bid. Vote is in. July 2024 is the day. Okay. And now we've had a little slow news holiday weekend where not as much has been going down, but our good friend Dennis Dodd tweeted a story out and wrote the story, and he says he's got sources saying that there we had some competing things last week. Remember, there was Friday, it was like, oh, the big 12 is not doing anything. You're like, why would you not do anything? You can't just sit here. We'll get you plucked clean.
They had to go on offense.
But they have a brand new commissioner, and he's apparently been burning up the phone lines, Brett Yormack. And now, you know, listen, nothing is imminent. And these things will change as we go. But what we're seeing right now is the Big 12 is looking to expand. And right now, the Pac-12 is wounded. The Pac-12 just lost two of their marquee brands, right? And that's done. signed, sealed, not delivered, because it's not delivered till it's delivered, but they'll lose their two big names, their biggest media market, all that, and now they need to either kill or be killed. I mean, that's kind of what this whole thing has turned mm-hmm. into. So the Big 12 is the next closest one geographically. It doesn't matter. Geography doesn't matter anymore.
But no, not well after USC, UCLA. They
have a bit of contiguous states here.
That was the official burning of the rule book.
Yeah, that's well, maybe the Big 12 burned it with West Virginia. I don't know.
Nothing like USC and UCLA going to the Big
no,
Ten.
No, that is definitely that, different. But
you can get it anywhere.
You got to do something is mm-hmm. the point. And apparently, Dennis Dodd's sources are saying that the Big 12 is actively out looking for some teams, four, maybe six.
Involved in deep discussions.
Deep discussions.
And I don't know how far they can, how deep the discussions can be, because don't the bylaws prohibit them from actually offering?
Well, that's like tampering, legalized
yeah, but
tampering.
There are ways to get it done.
Sure.
Maybe
but,
he meant deep discussions as in like they're talking about religion and that kind of
thing. What are we doing here? Yeah, yeah, what's this all
what's
mean?
What's the purpose of life?
Who was
the Big 12 commissioner asked the Pac-12 commissioner. That's what he meant by deep discussions.
So what we've
man
seen
is a rope stretched over the abyss.
From the Pac-12 today is George Kliakoff, the new commissioner, last year or so. They are opening their negotiations with TV networks early.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They were supposed to be due up. Now they're going to open them early. Let's tear up the contracts because they're going to need to do something different because they're not going to have Southern Cal and UCLA in their league as of right
that
now.
Changes the that's an interesting little variable dropped into
yeah.
the equation.
Here's the biggest media market in the world. Now you'll still be there because you've got LA is like a lot of places. There are Oregon alums there, mm-hmm. University of Washington alums, all that. I mean, they're all over there. And this is all in common. They don't care about sports. That's just me talking here. They just don't care. So having the L.A. market is something, but they don't care about college sports, in my mind. But if you get 1% of 20 million people watching, that's a big deal. So George Kliakoff is going to open those discussions up. We know the Big 12's deal is up. The grant of rights is up in a couple of years. That's why we're waiting for 2025 right now for Oklahoma and Texas to leave this league. And, you know, starting next year, less than a year now, it's July 1st, Houston, BYU, UCF, and Cincinnati are going to be joining the Big 12 as it stands right now. So the Big 12 right now, today, has 10 members. We'll have 14 theoretically next July 1st if Oklahoma and Texas don't get out, and we'll have 14 for 2 years. And talk about four mm-hmm. or six more. The real number the Big 12 is at now is going to be 12 if Oklahoma and Texas are leaving. So that'll give you 16 in the SEC. That'll give you 16 in the Big Ten with USC and UCLA going. And then where are we going to get?
16 in the SEC with Texas and Oklahoma.
Right. So you've got those 16. There's 14 in the ACC right now. The Pac-12 all of a sudden is 10, you know, with mm-hmm. UCLA and USC leaving. And you start talking about things. I heard, you know, Jason was reading the text line, you know, 420-team leagues. There ain't going to be 420-team leagues. That's 80. You start, write them down, look at your list, and see if
like
you can get down to 80. Because right now, I mean, Power 5 was 65, 66 somewhere. So, and right now, the Big 12 has brought people up to Power 5.
Mm-hmm.
UCF was not Power 5.
Cincinnati.
Right? Cincinnati was theoretically running the Big 10, but then they weren't. Right,
yeah.
They were kind of or the Big East when the Big mm-hmm. East had football, which they don't anymore.
Houston was not.
So they've
BYU
brought
wasn't.
Some up into the quote unquote power whatever number right. you're going to call this thing. Right, BYU kind of counted, but not like Notre Dame counted when
no.
they had their, you know, all the discussions with the TV things. It's you got to pick these people, and Notre Dame had their own special rules. BYU didn't have those rules, but I think it is thought of as a quasi Power Five, and now that's solidified now that they're mm-hmm. in this league. But there is no more Power Five. That's going to be over. Are we Power 2 or Power 3 is the question. In my mind, we know we got Power 2, Big 10, SEC. I don't know what's going to happen with the rest of it. Right? Like right now, you'll read some things. There's a nice article on ESPN that says that the Big 12, as it stands right now, is positioned best to be the most solid third conference. And I think they might be right in some way. But the ACC, are they just going to sit there? The Pac-12 right now is the one that's cannibalized. We saw the Big 12 get cannibalized a couple of times. Happened over 2 years when four schools left. Big school, A&M's big school. Missouri, big school, only school in the state, only Division I football program in the state, right? Nebraska runs the state, small state, but whatever. Colorado, these were not little, you know, wallflowers leaving. That happened over 2 years. Now, Oklahoma and Texas, two of the biggest athletic programs in multiple sports that there are, they're gone. Well, the Big 12 has cobbled it together. Now, I think they're generally cobbling it together with less, but right now, they're going to have 12 teams in, and if you add some of these teams, then all of a sudden you're putting yourself in that position. But I don't know what the number is going to be, and I think if we're going to talk about this forever, because that's what we do in Sports Talk Radio, but I want you to forget what you hear in five minutes, because it can change. That's what this is. I don't know what the right number is, but I know it ain't going to be 80 schools.
I would also add that even if it gets to a point right now, I think if you ask any Big 12 school, you know, or commissioner, give them truth serum, they would say, if I guaranteed you pack a Big 3 and you're one of the three, would you take it?
Take it 100%.
They'd all take it. However, I think also if you gave them truth serum, a lot of those schools who would be part of that third would happily jump still to the, even if the Big 12 can save itself, grabbing some schools from out west and become the third of the Big Three, Kansas, K-State, Oklahoma State, whomever, those schools would still happily take the invite to the SEC or Big Ten if they got it.
I think I agree with that. Yeah, I mean, you're solidified only as long as you're solidified. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So I don't know where it's going to go. I think the ACC is something to watch as well. Notre Dame is still just a monstrous wild card in this. It is, you know, Timmy was on last week, talking about, you know, he went to Notre Dame, obviously, Tim Grunhard, and, you know, maybe this is the time to join the Big Ten, because, I mean, that's the one that fits for them. It's like all around their area. I know it's a big national brand and it goes all over, but it's still, at its heart, a Midwest school that reaches a lot of places. But it's right there where a huge amount of their alums live, and that makes more sense than the ACC in my mind for them. And if they did it, they'd have to give up what they have going with NBC right now. NBC's TV contract runs up in 2025. It's decent. It's like $15 million a year for them. But they're paying $15 million, and they're giving up six games or seven games. That's what's on there. Okay, so it's some money, right? And they're not going to turn it down. Their budget's big. If they joined the Big Ten, then the Big Ten network would be more worth more. The TV contracts with Fox would be worth more. All those things would be worth more. Or maybe NBC gets into the conference thing instead of just one team. I don't know. But I think that's the big shoe that may or may not ever drop. I don't know what it's going to do. I know they've enjoyed their independence. But as someone who has watched this happen elsewhere all around and watched the rules get made for them, I think we're just about to the time where the old rules don't matter at all anymore. We've seen that. Because we just saw two teams from Los Angeles leave California, basically, and go to the Big Ten. They've flipped the bird, proverbially, to the Rose Bowl, which was destroying any scheduling that was happening anywhere and was a fly in the ointment for a long time. And now the college football world and the people in their own town, UCLA plays their games at that stadium. That's their home stadium, and they've turned their back on the parade, basically, is what they've done. So if those things are happening, maybe Notre Dame, it's time for them to jump and get into a league, because what they need to do, and this is the hard part, because there's no one in charge of football. It's Mark Emmert or whoever, they're not in charge of this stuff. This is a group of presidents who get together, and they're in charge a little bit, and then they have a college football playoff committee, all that stuff. They need to tell Notre Dame, we're not making rules for you anymore. You want to play in a college football playoff, you're not in it. And that, I think, can be done, because all you need to do is say you have to be a member of a conference who either wins it or we put you in the committee or whatever and we pick you. That's simple. You have to do it. Now, do they have the tummy?
You need us more than we need
you. Do they
have
the tummy to do that to Notre Dame? I think Notre Dame needs 65 other schools more than they need them. I honestly believe that. So I don't know if that'll happen or not.
I said this on Sunday that the last time the Big 12 was on offense was to create the Big 12. I mean, mm-hmm. they were the Big Eight the last time they actually made a move. Everything they've done since 96 has been to replace teams that were leaving. And even Bob Bowlesby said that, I think, to The Athletic the day he stepped down, that his entire tenure they'd been on defense, really hadn't had a chance to be on offense. And I thought this is an opportunity to do that. And I think that's what we're seeing now. That's what they're doing. I think UCLA and USC leaving opened up every possibility. And it's a race between the Big 12 and the ACC to be that third power team. And it looks like the Big 12 is saying we're going to be that team.
Now, the Big 12 also has more room to take more members on. The ACC, it's already 14.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if they're going to 20. Maybe they can take six or whatever. But either way, the Big 12 has some flexibility because it's a little bit smaller right now. Mm-hmm. Two universities smaller.
But I think they're taking the lead in that. And I think I would say if this happens, if they get these four, and it looks like it's the Arizonas, Colorado, and Utah. I think they probably are the odds-on favorite to me to be that third. And the Pac-12 ends up happening to them what happened to the WAC or, you know, the Southwest
East
Conference. Either
whatever,
it goes away or you pull in lesser schools and the Pac-12 ends up being even more the other conference in that Power Five thought of structure. So, and I think that, Brett Yormark was hired on, got the job on Wednesday. I don't know that necessarily his handprints are on.
I'm not sure he's officially anything yet. He's hired.
I don't think his handprints are necessarily on these reports, but I think those things do kind of go hand in hand. I think it's they're coming up on a time, the Big 12 is, where conventional wisdom is not as nearly as much value as it used to be, and is dwindling more and more. You need someone who has ideas you hadn't thought of, and I think Brett Yormark is the kind of guy I think ideally suited for that. So I think it's going to end up being that he's a very, very good hire, because the decisions they make to continue viability and join the other two at the top of the sports spectrum is going to take outside the box moves. So I actually think it's going to work out very well for them. And this move would seem to be the kind of move I would think someone like Brett Yormark would certainly be in favor of.
Who knows? I mean, I just don't know anything about the guy yet. I mean, I'm hoping for the best for the Big 12, that they've gotten the right guy at the right time to navigate through these things. But I don't think when he took this job, he thought this was going to be the first thing that happened to him.
Yeah, I don't think he thought it would happen this quickly.
I haven't seen a story anywhere that says, oh, people have known about this for 6 months.
Yeah, I don't think he thought it would happen this quickly, but I think he probably anticipated that things are going to be moving around more. I just think we're entering a phase in which old-time thinking about how conferences are structured and how things are going to happen is not of much value. So I think, guys, as much as I think it kind of Bob Bowlesby probably gets a bit of a unfair criticism for the job he did here. I do think it's we're entering an era in which his leadership and his thought process is not what you'd want in a conference. So I think my just gut reaction on this is that I think the move to Brett Yormark is going to be very well timed for the Big 12.
It's a great coach, you know, who won a bunch of championships with old school, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, having to give way to a guy who can win in a more modern, conventional, more modern way than what used to be thought of as conventional.
Yeah, we'll see. I've never even heard the guy utter a word, so I don't know what to think yet.
Yeah, and I'm connecting dots here clearly, but to me, I don't think the dots are that far apart.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it will be for the Big 12, because this is an important time. I mean, listen, we talk about sports.
They can't
we love
screw
sports.
This up.
We built Sports Radio 1510 and Sports Radio 810 by caring more about college sports than was really cared about in the region for a long time. So it's important to us. I mean, we have our 100-year anniversary coming up, and for the 20-plus years that we've been doing this, we've been doing it, you know, with a conscious effort to talk more about college sports because we noticed how important it was to everybody, and people were fired up about it, and it was kind of underserved.
Yeah, exactly. But there you go. That's outside the box thinking, and that's the success that came from that.
And we'll see if they've got the right guy to do it. And sometimes you can have the right guy, and if it doesn't matter, because if the other
right,
because we can sit here like. You know, Jason spent a long time the last hour, you know, going through this. You're doing it live on the air when the report comes out. Mm-hmm. And, like, you start thinking, well, you could just do this and move this here, move that. You know, there's about a thousand personalities involved in each one of these decisions, because there's a board of directors. There's 500 big boosters. There's athletic directors. There's blah, blah, blah. All
a lot
these
of moving
things.
Parts.
There's possibly a governor. There's someone in the state house represent. You know, I mean, there's all these things that are involved in this that when I write these down on a piece of paper, they don't show up. That's just not on there.
Mm-hmm.
We can think we know that so and so likes this or that, because I think it'd be great
not,
if Utah,
it's not like an NFL team choosing to move, or
I think it'd be great if Utah and BYU were together. I know those there's some hard blood between these schools because of, like, BYU didn't get asked to join the Pac-12. Utah did. Remember, Utah wasn't a Power 5 school before this whole thing happened before.
Right.
So there's some stuff up there between them. Do they want to be in the same thing? I mean, we already know, we've seen reports and stuff that A&M doesn't want Texas in their pod because they're still sore from 12 years ago. I mean, so it's easy to draw this stuff out and say, well, let's just do this, and let's have this, and let's do this. And maybe it's like that. Some of these things
we
we're saying could be a non-starter. It could be just like, nah, that ain't happening. There's one thing I know, that's not happening. Those could be like things that we just don't know about. And people who even are out in these regions where these are, they may think it just makes all kinds of sense to do something, and it may not. So I don't know where it's going to go. My overall thought is, 12, 13 years ago when all this stuff started, we were talking about 4 16-team power conferences. And that's what kind of was some of the genesis of all these conversations. And right now, if you're going to do that, I mean, that means the Big Ten and the SEC can't add anymore because they're going to be at 16.
Yeah.
So does that mean the ACC goes 2, the Big 12 adds 6, and there's like 4 or 5 out, maybe? I don't know. Does it mean there's going to be 2 24-team leagues and then everyone else is just out? There's only 48, quote-unquote, big-time football. I don't know where it's going to be. But the hardest part about the whole thing is they don't know either, because they're all just guessing.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this happen because we don't even pay attention to what happens at the, quote-unquote, lower levels. You want to have some fun? Go out there and just try to get a little flow chart going on the AAC or the Valley or the Mountain West or the Big West, the Southland. I mean, all these conferences have gone through more than these big conferences because they're all scrapping and fighting too. Like the AAC lost their bell cows, basically. They're coming to the Big 12. And so that league kind of going away. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff happening at all these different levels, and I don't know where it's going to end up because there's no one in charge of it. There is no one that says you can or can't do this. It's kind of like the Wild Wild West, for better or for worse. That's what it is, because football has always been different than the other NCAA things, and it's even wilder now with NIL and the fact that, you know, you have different NIL laws in each and every different state. And the transfer rules that the NCAA has put in, that people can move here and there and do whatever, it is absolutely as crazy a time as there's ever been in college athletics.
Think of one of the most iconic games in the last 20 years, Texas-USC in the Rose Bowl in January of 2006. That, at the time, was Pac-12, Big 12. Mm-hmm. That's now Big 10 SEC.
It's wild.
Well, about to be.
At some point.
About to be Big 10
Theoretically,
SEC.
It is.
You're like, okay, that's interesting.
And like I say, theoretically, because you don't know if any of these things are really going to go through. Because like TCU was in the Big East for a minute and was never in it.
Yeah.
They agreed to do it, and they go, uh-oh, Big 12 said I can come here?
They were like Bill Belichick with the Jets.
Yeah, almost had a presser.
I would add that another kind of unprecedented thing we've witnessed or we've experienced in the last week that was never a part of Missouri to the SEC or Nebraska to the Big Ten or all these others – The expansion that happened, or realignment that happened a decade ago or 12 years ago, was conferences inviting schools, We're at a point now where at least two of the conferences have seemingly gotten so attractive that schools are, it's the other way, schools are asking conferences. And that's, you know, the other reason that nobody knows is because you don't know if a school's going to wake up one morning and go, hey, I think we should give it a shot to try to get the Big Ten. And the Big Ten will go, well, we hadn't thought about that before, but sure, yeah, let's do it.
The decision makers at the schools change, too. I mean, mm-hmm. It's not the same chancellor, university president at any of these schools, hardly, that were there 12 years ago. I mean, these things constantly change. And like I said, the layers of government, different governors, different state reps, different United States senators. I mean, that was like, it got down to the West Virginia invite. I mean, it was like Joe Manchin and Mitch McConnell. I mean, that was the kind of crap that was happening. Mm-hmm. That's the wild stuff about this, because it was like, here's the dude from West Virginia, here's the dude from Kentucky, and they're all sitting here doing this crap there. So those things change as well. The people in power change on what they can do. So I'll just say, stay tuned. Have fun with it. It can't be fun if you're an alum of a school and you've enjoyed decades of a rivalry with another school, and then you don't know where you're going to be. This has not been fun, but like I said, this has been going on forever. There's been more recently than there has been. But I was, 25 years old when the Big 12 occurred. I'd lived all my 25 years with the Big 8, and the Southwest Conference was the Southwest Conference. When I was in college, Arkansas left the Southwest Conference. And then 4 years later, four of those teams were in the Big 12. I mean, it went from going to OU Texas for fun to going to OU Texas because this game's for the Big 12 South.
Had to win the title, yeah.
You know, it those things change, and all the people who have been Missouri-Kansas rivalries and, Texas and Texas A&M rivalries and all those things, and now all that stuff's done, whatever, the dollar, chasing money is what it's all about, I guess, for these schools. And if it turns you off of college athletics, it turns you off of college athletics.
Find something else to watch, because it ain't changing.
My advice to you is, it's always about your school, and sometimes your school does things that embarrass you or you don't like, and that's the decision you make to watch the school or not watch the school, do whatever. But we'll talk about it. I mean, we're actually open this first hour. If you want to call with any ideas, any thoughts, if you're angry, if you're not angry, whatever, you can do that. 913-38-1810 is the phone number. We got plenty of things to talk about today. Royals, wow, rough. They're in
Houston.
Rough
couple of days.
It was going to be very exciting. They were going to win a big game down there yesterday, and then it didn't happen, so we can talk about that. What else is going on? They had a game on Peacock. That was weird. We'll talk about that as we go. Did you watch it? Are you someone who hasn't watched the Royals game all year because you can't get Bally's, but you can get Peacock? I don't know.
I saw some of those in my mentions.
There's plenty of those out there. I don't have Peacock either. I don't pay for that, so I couldn't watch it, but I know Curtis watched it. So we'll talk about that, all kinds of other things. Alec Lewis, talking Royals with us at 3 o'clock. We'll go around the country with the drill at 4, and we've got NFL talk with Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports in the 5 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the program. I'm Todd Lebo, in for Surin Petro. He is on his way to Lake Tahoe. I heard it's going to be 105 degree heat index out there. It's going to be nice.
Whenever you mention Lake Tahoe, you have to say beautiful Lake Tahoe.
It is true.
Because it's never.
It is beautiful.
Never. It's like whenever on a talk show, anytime that a female actor is the guest, the lovely and talented.
Lovely and talented.
They always have to say lovely and talented.
Yeah.
They never say that about, Brad Pitt, who is, a lot of people would consider lovely and talented.
Is he talented? I'm looking at the temps out there.
Pretty much.
74, yeah. 76, 78.
Not
pretty good.
Better,
low in
better
the 40s.
Than, better than 100, 199, which is going to be here this week.
Pack a jacket, fellas. It's going to be chilly in the mornings. I did not listen to what Adam said on who's first, so it doesn't really matter. Let's go to JP first. What's up, JP?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great.
Something interesting that I was thinking about, all the power – all the teams in the power conferences, of course, trying to load up with the teams and such. What are we going to do 3 or 4 years from now when you've got teams that are underperforming and they put them on probation and they say, see you later, bye?
Well, I mean, that's the risk you run. These grant of rights and all these things, I guess things could work both ways. But I assume there's something in these contracts that they do with the leagues that says they can't just kick you out. But we've seen money taken away. You know, Baylor had the embarrassment a few years ago of all the things that were happening off, and they took like half their money one year. The league just said, you don't get half your money this year. And it was like, okay, you know. It's a dirty business. I know that. I know that, JP. Thanks for the call, buddy. We will go next to Jazzu Jay. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Long-time listener, long-time caller. I just wanted to make two comments, if you would. One about the realignments, if you will, and one about the baby brothers of the Rams, the Los Angeles Chargers quarterback.
Okay.
As it relates to the college realignment, I went to a small East Coast school and one here locally, so I'm not a huge KU, K-State, whatever fan. I don't have an allegiance to any of those schools. But for me, as kind of an outsider watching in, this is great news for the entertainment because I think a lot of these old school matchups have gotten stale, and it's time for some new fun matchups against these big powerhouses like a K-State versus Oregon again, or a, you know, KU versus Arizona or something like that. I think, like I said, how many times do I need to sit and watch an Auburn-Alabama game on Saturday? It's just time for some new blood, new matchups, and some new traditions to evolve. So I'm looking forward to what's going to happen with this ever-changing landscape.
All right.
And then my second comment, if you would, is really more of a question comment, but it's about Justin Herbert. You know, I continue to hear everyone, when, you know, during this time of year, there's a lot of let's rank quarterbacks by tier, if that makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Justin Herbert continues to find his way in everyone's top tier. And my question to you guys is, how is that even possible? I think he's below the top tier and maybe even considered just above average. And because this guy hasn't sniffed the playoffs, he is, to me right now, has done nothing more than he looks like a young version of Philip Rivers himself, minus the attitude. Can you guys explain to me how this guy has suddenly snuck his way into the conversations of the great Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers, guys that have actually been there and done that?
Well, it was this week last year. Thanks, Jay. It was this week last year in Tahoe where Patrick Mahomes said, I'll see it when I believe it.
Yeah.
Mixed the words up a little bit, but he was, you know, people were hollering at him from the gallery out there in Lake Tahoe. And I don't get it either. Now, they did sniff the playoffs last year. All they had to do was tie the Raiders, and they didn't even get that done. So the win would have been better, but the tie would have worked, and they didn't do that. So they've been close-ish. He's basically the flavor of the month, and he is everybody's like favorite guy to be the next one. And I don't get it yet either. I think you got to I will believe it when I see it.
I would
see
say
it when I believe it.
The reason guys like him come up is almost similar to the point Jay made when he was talking about conference realignments. People are sick about talking about the same old quarterback, so they have to bring up somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me something new.
I think when you watch Justin Herbert play, you can't watch him and not see the tools.
Oh, he's definitely got
for greatness there. And it isn't, I mean, the numbers aren't all a guy is early on. At this point, he's had a 31-10 season, a 38-15 season last year. He was offensive rookie of the year in 2020. You watch the game and you go, man, he's going to be great. That's I haven't seen it yet. As far as the postseason success, obviously, that's an easy thing to throw back at him. I do think this is a big year for that, though. At year three, you've got to put something on the board in that postseason. If he doesn't lead the Chargers to the postseason this year, then I think it's a lot easier to push back against all the fanfare that Herbert's gotten. But you can't watch him play and not see where it's coming from.
I'll credit him for this as well. He has beaten the Chiefs twice. The one was the last game of the year, but the one he came into Arrowhead,
legit
that
beat
was
them here.
That was for real. I mean, he came in there and they won the game, but he probably
did it again.
Probably could be 4-0 against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And the reason that they didn't win two of those games was 100% him.
Yeah,
failing a little bit.
Yes,
you know. So he's got to show it to me a little bit. I like what he's got. I said at the time, it was one of the most significant draft picks than the AFC West has had, you know, outside of Mahomes, because the Chargers saying bye-bye to Philip Rivers and taking a quarterback in the top 10 was a big deal. There aren't a lot of top 10 quarterbacks getting drafted running around, you know, in our division here. And there's a couple of them now with Mahomes and him. And then, and that's, That's a big deal when you take someone there. It may not work, but it's a big deal.
I'll add that Jay said he just might be a reincarnation of Phillip Rivers. Well, that's a borderline Hall of Famer.
Well, and Phillip Rivers probably should have gone to the Super Bowl.
In a lot of years, Rivers' stats would wind up at least in a Super Bowl, and I think he should go to the Hall of Fame, but at the very least, he's in the conversation, so that's not a bad career by any means.
Yeah, you don't want to be the end of the road Phillip Rivers.
No.
You want those first 5 years Phillip Rivers when they were really winning games and winning playoff games and going and beating Peyton Manning on the road. I mean, they did some stuff. And probably, you know, had the dude not fumbled the ball after he picked off Brady or had the fumble picked up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was a Brady Super Bowl, right?
That was a Colts Super Bowl, but the Chargers would have been hosting the Colts in San Diego for the right
like
to go to the Super Bowl.
Or something. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't blame Philip for that. Of course.
You blame Marty for that, right?
No, I don't blame Marty either. I blame that player for that.
Everyone else.
913-381-1010 is the phone number. Realignment Jim is up. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. So what do you got to say, Jim? There we go.
One of the callers mentioned earlier, we haven't seen retraction or in soccer terms, you know, relegation.
Relegation, yeah.
At this point, which to me it seems like it's just around the corner. But I would just point out that I think this is a time that you got to be careful who you tick off and who you remain friends and that kind of thing. You know, around here we heard, you know, all the bad blood because Missouri did the right thing and went to the SEC and we're not going to play them and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, they were just talking last hour that, boy, if KU got a chance to go to the Big Ten, they'd go in a heartbeat and they'd do the exact same thing. So I know as local fans, you know, we want to hold grudges and stuff, but I think it's going to be really important for relationships and stuff to be maintained, so when you get the opportunity, you've got all the support you can.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you never know when you're going to be back in the league with somebody. I mean, Texas and Texas A&M are going to be in a league together now.
Yeah.
They're going to be in a league, and maybe
how about all the stuff you talked about?
Pod, or I don't know if they're going to do pods, and we still don't know because we don't have an exact – well, we know the official date for Oklahoma and Texas is 2025, July 1. We don't know if that's going to be where it's going to be, but – very well they could be playing. And they've played in some other sports. They've done some things. But football's the big one there. And they haven't gotten that one done. So you're exactly right. You don't know we're going to be in the league with someone. So watch. And of course, then again, different head coaches, different ADs, different commissioners too. I don't know. Anyway, appreciate it, Jim. I don't know where we're going to land this time. We seem to have some cycles. I don't know where this is going to be. And like I said, there's just no one in charge of it. That's the hardest part. We're all just, you know, someone kind of takes the lead a little bit with some of these leagues. You know, if you're a strong league commissioner and you go out and you add some teams or you do something, or you're the, you know, the SEC was like a, you know, the forefront of having, you know, a title game. Leagues didn't have title games, right? You know, in football, the Big 12 didn't start a title game till they had divisions and had 12 teams, and the SEC was already a couple of games into it. Big Ten wasn't going to have a title game.
Yeah,
Big Ten wasn't
going to
play. They weren't going to play after Thanksgiving. Sorry. And we're not going to play night games. We're going to do this stuff. And the Pac-12 didn't have a title game. And so sometimes there's someone who's visionary in a way. It was forever until the Pac-12 had a postseason basketball tournament. They didn't have a postseason basketball tournament until like 2002-ish, something like that. Big Ten was the same way. And,
Big Eight had been doing it since the 70s.
Yes. You know, so I still say Big Eight. That's a we, okay? That's a we. We were on the forefront there. So sometimes people can lead and a conference will lead, but still the biggest problem with this is there's no one actually in charge.
No.
That says, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. If there was a person in charge of college football, a college football commissioner.
Czar.
And that would be the
they'd
the
all have to agree on that.
The
they need that, honestly, yeah. I think. Because what we
they'd
have
never
now
agree on who it would be.
Is we have like little arms race with these leagues, is what it's turning into. And I'll remind you again, we remember the names in 2010 when this started. Jim Delaney, he's not there at the Big Ten anymore, right? Mike Slive, RIP. He ain't there at the SEC anymore. Dan Beebe.
No.
Chuck Ninus.
Was Larry Scott at the Pac-12?
Larry Scott was brand new at the Pac-12 then. And the commissioner, it was Jim Swofford or something at the ACC, and it's some guy named something else. Jim Miller, maybe? Something Miller.
I'll check it out.
So there are different people in charge there now, and there are very few, you can go track them all through there, of the same presidents, chancellors,
Jim Phillips.
You call it. Jimmy Phillips. Old JP. He just called.
Joe Phil.
He's in charge there, and he wasn't there before. It's all new people doing this. And I'll bet the turnover at chancellor is 80% in like 12 years. Chancellor president / CEO of a school. Athletic director, probably 90% turnover.
I think OU is the same guy that has the same AD, right?
Same athletic director, but the president's gone.
Yeah,
now.
He's gone. Yeah, because what was his name?
David Boren, nutbag old David Boren's finally gone.
Dodds was the guy in Texas. Wasn't he?
Dodds, he's no longer there. Yeah. Chris Del Conte is the AD there, and he was at TCU before that. So he was, you know, he's been rising the ranks too. They're the same. They all want to get somewhere. Gordon G, who was the president of Ohio State during all this stuff, and now he's in the Big 12. I think he's at West Virginia or somewhere like that. They just move around. You know, they're the same way. So all of a sudden, they may be arguing for one thing, and now you're a president who's in another league doing another thing, and there's no one really in charge of it all. So it just kind of happens, right? And you follow the money on a lot of these things. And basically, what has been running all of this for about 15 years has been two TV networks. That's what's been doing it. ESPN and Fox have been running this. I mean, they're the ones, I feel, behind the scenes who wanted Oklahoma and Texas to be in the SEC. That's what I feel they wanted. They wanted to get out from under the Longhorn Network, and then they wanted to go have these matchups. Because we're talking about, the caller says, I don't want to watch the same games over and over. Well, if the ESPN, ABC, same thing. If they're going to have like six football games a day, which is what they're going to have when it's not on CBS anymore, they're going to have an ABC, like an 11, 2:30, and a 7, and they're going to have an ESPN, you know, noon, 3, 6, whatever, and an ESPN 2, whatever, and an SEC network, whatever. They can't put Alabama on there every week, but they're certainly not going to put Mississippi State Vanderbilt on. So they need to have a matchup with Texas and Georgia that they can throw up on ABC. So you need those bigger school names, because there are some bottom feeders in all these leagues. Big Ten Network, and Fox with the big noon kickoff and all these things, they don't want Indiana, Minnesota on there.
Yeah.
They want USC, Ohio State.
No.
They want UCLA stinks. They're just along for the ride, in my opinion. I mean, UCLA's never won anything other than basketball championships, and they don't win football. They don't win football. It's 95. It's been 20, they're fine, and they're good. They were top five team, all that stuff. But their football program is disappointing.
Yes,
it's been disappointing basically forever. But it's still LA. Whatever. Michigan, UCLA, put it on the big Fox game or something like that. You need those matchups, because it ain't selling with Northwestern. We love the story, but Northwestern Purdue ain't getting it done, okay? No. So you got to have these in there. So that's basically, if you want to know who's running it, that's who's running it. Whoever's in charge at ESPN and Fox, and you know what? Those people change too, and they go from network to network. So affiliations change, that's for sure, and it's not over, and it'll never end, but this segment has to end because that's what Adam said. Welcome back into the program. We will talk Royals baseball next hour with Alec Lewis from The Athletic. And nobody is more athletic than Alec Lewis.
I'm saying.
It's true.
Nobody.
We got the drill coming way at 4 o'clock on this Tuesday.
I think this is the first ever Tuesday drill.
Could be. We don't have a Monday 4th of July very often.
No. Only and about usually, once every 6 years.
Yeah. And then, we'll end up. This is about the only day we do. We'll do shows like on Labor Day, and it'll be me. Someone's gonna be up in here. But we got football, you know, starting that'll be Chiefs week, and that will be Missouri's playing on the Thursday before. But KU and K State both play Labor Day weekend, so those will be big shows. So then we'll probably drillage on that day. Do you know
drill, baby, drill?
That's what it's gonna be. But we will have the drill. We're gonna go to Milwaukee, Twin Cities. Houston, and Cleveland. You know, about every one of those cities might have something to say about college stuff as well.
I would think so.
Because we got some Big Ten cities up there. How excited are they? Which I call it a Rose Bowl every week. You always wanted to play USC, right?
There it is.
You always wanted to play UCLA. It's Rose Bowl for you. It's what you've got going. That'll be fun. And I do want to talk to Cody Benjamin, fine writer from CBS. He's got a coach rankings, and you're going to go look at it. Andy Reid's number one. I'll spoil it for you right now, and I wonder why. Maybe because they're really good. And he's got some quarterback numbers out there, too. It's funny when you look at these numbers, the number of quarterbacks these franchises have had, and how they're always bad because you have to go through quarterbacks after quarterbacks. And the Chiefs were that team for quite a while.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Majority of my lifetime.
Yeah. They were the crew that was like, oh, here's a quarterback for like four games, and here's a guy for six games. And then, you know, Trent Green's good. A few years. And then after that, it's like, woof.
What's interesting to me is I came of age as a Chiefs fan for the 90s Chiefs didn't have a stretch of great quarterback play either, but they were consistently good. And it was funny to me that once like 07 through 09 came along when they were going 2-14, it was interesting to me how many people older than me that was commonplace.
Oh, yeah, it was just your life.
Yeah, for me it was the Chiefs in the 90s Chiefs getting to the show but coming up short. Was my experience and the 2-14s were totally new to me come 07.
I had a Raiders jersey when I was a kid because you couldn't be a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, one playoff appearance between 71 and 80 and 91 or 90
between Hank and Marty.
Yeah, one.
And wasn't that
accidental? Lasted 3 hours.
It was based on like some crazy special teams plays.
Playoff clinching game
finale in Pittsburgh.
Three or four. Defensive or special team touchdowns. Three defensive touchdowns. Didn't score. And they won. They beat the Steelers. And then they got to go to the playoffs, and they got boat raced by just a Jets team
that had started 10-1, then lost 5 in a row, and just getting destroyed.
They
found it just the right time.
It was like Edwards playoffs, basically.
Yeah. When Trent Green got hurt on opening day 2006.
Six, to the Bengals.
The number of quarterbacks the Chiefs had play from that moment until Alex Smith was just like these crappy numbers you will see that Cody Benjamin put out for the Browns, Texans, Commanders, blah, 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 blah. Those teams at least made a playoff here or there.
Gordy Croyle.
And the Chiefs made a playoff in there, too.
Tyler Palco.
Matt Cassel made the playoffs.
Well, they made two in there. They got the one in 06.
All the things that happened, they backed in for sure. And oddly enough, neither one of those teams won their playoff game.
Odd.
Not that odd.
No, not odd. But that interesting stuff that Cody Benjamin has put out there about those numbers and stuff. And I think if you marry all that stuff together, instability at quarterback, not well-known, thought-of head coach, and it's hard to get out of that cycle. And then if you just find one of those, the other may follow. I think you find the head coach first, get the quarterback, you're in better shape, because a lot of times there's some really good quarterbacks and they don't have a good head coach. It takes a while there too. So we'll see. Cody Benjamin, our guest at 5:20 to talk about those things. The Chiefs are in a very good spot right now.
I think so.
Because they have a very good head coach who they have ranked number one, and they have an MVP and Super Bowl champion quarterback who
isn't
pretty
old.
Good too. No, he's not old. And he's going to cost more, but they got a contract that worked. So that's a good thing to have, but we will discuss that stuff at 5:20. And Alec Lewis will join us next, talk a little baseball here on The Zone. It's not The Zone, it's a program. Damn it!
All right, before Julio Rodriguez, who was the last rookie with 15 homers and 15 steals by the All-Star break? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.